Hello, everyone. Welcome to Perfect Timing Podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Turner Monet, and today I have a very special guest, Miss Julie Kent. Julie Kent is the artistic director of the Washington School of Ballet, and she's been directing us since July of 2016, and she was the longest serving ballerina in American Ballet Theater's 80-year history, becoming an apprentice with them in 1985. In that same year, Kent won first place in the regional finals of the National Society of the Arts and Letters at the Kennedy Center. In 1986, she was the only American to win a medal at the Prix de Lausanne International Ballet Competition, and she became a member of the ABT's Corps de Ballet, appointed a soloist in ABT in 1990 and a principal dancer in 1993. In April 2000, Kent won the Prix Bonnard de la Danse and the first American woman to ever won this prize. Later that year, Kent starred in the motion picture Center Stage, directed by Nicholas Hytner. During Kent's long performing career, she acquired a vast repertoire, dancing over 100 ballets, including all the major classical, dramatic, and neoclassical roles in the works of Maurice Petipaud, George Balanchine, Jerome Robbins, and more. Her appearances as a guest include invitations from the Mariinsky Theater, New York City Ballet, the Australian Ballet, and others. Kent is married to the Washington Ballet Associate Artistic Director, Victor Barbie, and is the mother of two children. She has helped redefine the image of an American ballerina. Hello, Ms. Kent. Thank you for joining me today.
Hello, Sydney. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. So how have you been feeling recently? You know, I heard that, you know, the company has been going back into the studios, and how is that really working out right now?
It's been an exciting time. I think that we at the Washington Ballet have tried to use the restrictions and limitations that are a part of our shared reality as a catalyst for creativity and an opportunity to be innovative, all while keeping the health and safety of our dancers and staff and members of our organization safe and healthy. That's the number one priority. But the question has always been, what can we do under these circumstances? How can we keep moving forward? And so supporting that, the human spirit and continue to move forward, I think has been a very rewarding and inspiring part of what we've been doing in the last 8 weeks.
That's amazing. I'm glad that we were able to get to this point. And I know it's not exactly the same, but I know that being able to be in that space again must be a really fulfilling thing for not only for yourself, but the other dancers that you have been working with.
Yes, it's not the same. And I think that we all so want things to have a normalcy. And it's not there yet, but I celebrate baby steps, you know, even just a little progress moving forward, trying to accomplish something, and also seeing that everybody has to dig really deep in order to accomplish things that used to be so simple or just a regular part of your day. Now it takes three or four times the effort and planning and strategies in order to accomplish, but it satisfaction and reward in what you do accomplish, even if it's not at the same scale as what you're used to, is really exciting and brings people together. And so that's just been a great energy that has infused everything that we're doing.
That's wonderful. And I know that, you know, as you said, you like to celebrate the baby steps. I think that's very good to know and have when, you know, things are not really as they used to be. And, you know, really taking it day by day, I think really is helpful.
Exactly.
So tell me, what does the purpose of dance say about the culture or society that it represents?
Well, I think, you know, dance and music and storytelling have been a part of every culture from the beginning of the human existence. And so music, and I've always felt music is the older sister to dance. And as soon as you have a rhythm, you have inside you this desire to reflect the rhythm. And so I think that how different cultures have responded, and the rhythms have changed and the sounds have changed, and so it reflects a different, it inspires a different kind of movement. I think that is it's an interesting portrait of how the music and the sound then awaken a style or a vocabulary of movement. But it all goes back to a very it's inside who we all are, this desire to dance. And so I think that ballet is just a formalized vocabulary of steps and positions that have been developed and refined and codified over, several hundred years. So.
I agree. And what you were saying about the music, and that's a big part of the reason why I enjoy dance so much, is the music, because I feel like what you said, like if you can feel it inside of you, like, and you get this rhythm, and like, it really just pushes you to, really dance. And from the words of Balanchine, see the music, hear the dance. I love that, that saying, and I use it every day when I dance, and every time I come to class, I'm like, I want people to, see the music and hear the dance. And I just wanted to be portrayed to everyone that ballet can be really seen in many different ways, and the music and the dance and everything all together. I think it's just one beautiful art form that I get to dance and enjoy every single day.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that. That's exactly how I feel. And dance belongs to everyone. Dance is part of the human experience. And ballet is just a part of that large family of dance. And it belongs to you. It belongs to everybody. And I, as somebody who's spent my whole life dancing ballet, I just want to share and inspire that same love in all of the students, in all of our audience, and in all of our community to even if they love it or interested just a fraction of how of what it's meant to me, it opens a window. And so much like what you're doing with your podcast, you're connecting dots in experiences. And so by sharing your knowledge and your guest knowledge, we're all learning a little bit more and feeling more connected. And that's exactly what that's the best of humanity. And so I'm just so proud of you for what you're doing, and in this episode allowing for both of us to share our love for ballet.
Absolutely. I'm really glad that we are able to connect on that type of level. But going back to what we said about this new normal, how do you think dancers should prepare for their virtual classes since they're no longer in a physical building?
I think as I'm sure your teachers have talked to you about, mindset is so important. And shifting your mindset when you are entering a studio, whether it's a formal studio that you're accustomed to going in, or whether it's your home studio, and just sort of using a different part of your brain. So when we're doing academics and schoolwork, we're using areas of our brain that demand certain kind of concentration. And then when we shift into our more physical learning, we have to sort of reset the mindset and prepare ourselves. And I think, part of what's so beautiful about ballet is how dancers of all ages, whether you're level 1A, beginning ballet student, or a professional dancer, you prepare yourself physically. You know, you wear special clothes, leotards and tights, and you warm your muscles. You warm your muscles so you're kind to your body, and you secure your hair so that your body can be seen, and you can identify the detail in how your muscles are working so that you can constantly refine and improve how you're moving through space. And all of those things they're very beautiful, and they're very thoughtful, and they're just very self-focused. And so I think it's all of those things are an important part of how you prepare for ballet class, whether you're at home or whether you are in your studio.
Absolutely. I can take that to good use of what you were saying. And I'm sure any other listeners or dancers listening here today can take that away from this conversation as well. And how do you think dance in general can contribute to society, both as an activity and as an art form?
So as an activity, ballet is such a wonderful opportunity to have physical exercise. Your body is your instrument, and it's the only one you have in your whole life. So taking good care of it and exercising and stretching and developing a mindfulness and awareness of how you use your body is just, it's such a, there's so much positivity and so much benefit to anyone, again, a young student or a professional. And that mind-body connection, where you are walking, where you are constantly trying to just improve, so your ability to tell your body to make a movement, or that mindset to just want to improve that process just even a little bit every day is just a great approach to life in general. And as an art form, I think, you know, art in general is, again, since the beginning of time, is a reflection of the human experience. And so it's part of what we as human beings have a need to express what it is to be human. And that separates us. That's the unique thing that no one else on the planet can do except us, is create art and leave it as a reflection of what it felt like to be on this planet at this time. And so those two things, as an activity that benefits your mental health and physical health, and then also this sort of aspiration to say something meaningful, the two of them, I mean, it's essential.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's just like you were saying earlier, how everyone should be able to experience dance at some time in their life. And I think that dance really reflects on how people, you know, go out into the world. And I really think it reflects their character. And, you know, dancers are one of the most open-minded people I've ever met. And so I think that we just carry that with ourselves every day. And it's something that we only, like you said, that we only get to create and share with everyone. It's like we're building this story with our movement, and you're, you know, like you said, the only ones that are able to do that. And I'm really glad that we get to share that with everyone else.
That's exactly right. And I think another really beautiful thing about ballet and dance is that we, although you're inside your body and it's a personal experience, it's also very social because we do it together. We have ballet classes with our friends and peers, and we listen to the same music. And so it's together, as well as a sense of a solitude. You know, there's a sense of your own unique singular experience, but the shared experience of your classmates. And that's also just a really special aspect of being a dancer, again, at any level, whether you're student, professional. It's this very similar experience.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. But so far, I've been enjoying our conversation so much. I'm feeling so inspired. I'm like at the edge of my seat, like taking in every single word that you've been, you know, throwing at me this whole time. And I've just been so excited that you were able to join me today.
Thank you, Sydney. I love talking about something that I love and talking about it with somebody that also loves it. It's, you know, that's just wonderful.
Absolutely. And thank you, everyone, for listening so far. And we'll be right back after this break.
Leonque Chavette is the author of the debut novel, We Made Plans. It chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends in the midst of living their best lives when they experience a horrific trajectory-altering event. We Made Plans is a powerful piece taken right out of today's headlines. It's riveting and real. You'll become completely immersed in the lives of these relatable characters. We Made Plans by author Leonque Chavette is available online at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Amazon, Mahogany Books, and check your local bookstores. We Made Plans, available now.
Greetings. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am elated to bring you a weekly show where I discuss everything about education. That's right. What you want to know, what you don't know, and what you need to know will be aired each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Get ready, mark your calendars, and tune in to this show as we keep the pulse on education from an award-winning educator. Remember, once again, to tune in every Sunday at 5:30 p.m.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining me again. Again, I'm here with Julie Kemp, the Artistic Director of the Washington School of Ballet. And going back to what we were saying about dance, what is one thing that you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think that as an artist, understanding that disappointment and or a sense that you could have or should have done better is a part of how you actually move forward. And so what we do as dancers and artists is constantly put what you want to achieve, what you want to achieve, just a little bit out of reach, because that's how you move higher. And if I hadn't understood and known that that was all part of it, like that sense of disappointment or sense of frustration that I hadn't exactly given the performance that I had wanted to or executed something how I think I could, that's part of it. And that's what in the end makes you better. That's what pushes you forward, and not to fight it and not to sort of get too in the weeds with those feelings, but just embrace the fact that, okay, that's what's going to keep me going. And I didn't really understand it in that way until I actually was at the end of my career or really had stopped performing. And now that I have distance from it. And my sole focus is in developing new dancers and developing talent within each dancer that I see, helping to develop each one of their potentials, no matter how big or small, as a dancer, that I can see it and understand it more clearly.
Absolutely. You know, like you were saying, I think that all dancers can learn from that and, you know, really learn from our mistakes. Or maybe we had a performance that we, like you said, we could have done better or something like that. I really think we can all take that into consideration and just accept that not every performance, not every class is going to be perfect. And we just need to go with the flow and just kind of just take it day by day.
It's the work that you put into being better that makes you better, right? And if you didn't care, then caring is a sign of how much you want to be better. And that's a good thing. That is something to celebrate, right? If you really, if it left no emotional impact on you one way or the other, then it's probably not worth your time, right? And so sometimes I also, when I can see a dancer's upset or disappointed, I just remind them that that is an indicator of how much you care, and that is a good thing. So focus on that, and that how much you care and how the work you're going to put in into being better will make you better, right? Will help you to achieve what it is that you're striving for. And so I think it's just the mindset.
Yeah, so I think that it's, like you said, the mindset and everything that we put into it. And, you know, I also like to say, like, either love it or leave it, because you put too much time into something like this art form. You put too much time into dancing ballet to not want to be better at it. It takes too much time and too much energy out of your body if you don't really love what you're doing. And like you said, we need to take it day by day, and we need to just learn from our mistakes and just, you know, have a positive mindset. And like, if we show any emotion that we know that we could have done better, it really does prove that we enjoy that what we're doing and that we want to only grow and strive from here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes, and this is a great segue into my next question, because I would like to know, how can young dancers learn to trust the process during this new normal?
Well, I think the hardest part that I have seen just from my own children's experience in the pandemic is the solitude, that the inability to share with friends. And so much of learning is done in groups, with, as it's social, and to take that away, it's been very hard. But children and young people in general are very resilient, and so they are able to find a way forward and keep moving forward in new ways, I think, more easily than adults. And I think, again, a common theme that is often what I speak about is just trying to focus on just doing something just a little bit better, right? So sometimes dancers are given a stereotype or a bad reputation for being perfectionists. And I don't think that that's fair. I think that we really are just committed to being better, right? We pursue improvement. And just celebrating where we started our conversation, celebrating the baby steps and understanding that there are some things in life anything about right now. And so not focusing on the things that you can't change, but focusing on what you can do. And we can all do what we can do just a little better and be kind to ourselves and just, you know, slowly try to move forward. And I think that that's what I would encourage our young dancers and just people in general about how to approach especially ballet, when, you know, we're accustomed to having a teacher guide us, a pianist, a musician inspire us, and our colleagues share the joy and passion, our classmates and colleagues. And when we're all separated, then we have to dig a little deeper individually in order to find those things, the guidance and inspiration and sense of togetherness. But they're still there. It's just happening in a very different way.
Of course, and I think that everything that we've been learning since everything, you know, kind of stopped being in person really needs to start applying to how we go on every single day. And like you said, it's kind of a social thing. And when things kind of stopped being in person and physical, it's when I started mentally getting more upset with myself, because I felt that I didn't have any, you know, friendly competition to really learn and just dance together. I didn't have anyone around to share this love with. And it was kind of difficult, because I would end the class and I'd be like, I just didn't enjoy that class as much as I would, because I just don't feel like I am surrounded by the people that enjoy it as much as I do, because, you know, I'm just alone in, you know, the foyer of my home, and I'm just looking at a computer screen. I'm just trying to take in as much as I can and trying to enjoy my peers that are also in the class with me. But like you said, it is kind of difficult to do that if it's not in person and, you know, physical.
It is so hard. And I think that it's, as a teacher and as a parent, it's so inspiring and so moving and very stirring to see so many young people still trying to dance, even under whatever circumstance that they are in. And it's very inspiring, because it's, and we don't want that to be a victim of this pandemic, that love of interest in and passion for dance. So our work is really hoping that through those computer screen and through our online virtual teaching, that we can just keep that little flame alive.
Absolutely. And another question for you is, how can we incorporate ballet attire that represent dancers of different colors of skin and other skin tones?
Well, I think that that's a very important question, and certainly one that has been addressed throughout the ballet field through our country. The Washington School of Ballet has for several years now had our attire that allows for our dancers to make a choice about whether they choose to wear tights that reflect their skin tone or pink tights and pink shoes. And I think that there are layers to the question, availability, and also accessibility to a full spectrum of dance attire that comes in a variety of shades is only now sort of becoming more and more available by different manufacturers. And so I think for me, what's most important for any dancer is to walk into the studio with respect for themselves, which is why you have a uniform or a dress code. So you walk into the room with respect for yourself, respect for your teacher and the musicians and your peers, and you look in the mirror and you like what you see. You develop a positive self body image, and that you don't ever think I should look like somebody else or something else, but that you embrace and celebrate the reflection you see in the mirror. And so that is, to me, what's most important. It's not about what color the tights are, or, you know, if you have your hair in a bun. As long as your hair is secure and up so that you can see your neck, you can see how your face is. I mean, you know, as a ballet dancer, how the angles of your face, the épaulement, where you put your shoulders, all those details are part of what you're learning. And so you need to see the beautiful form of the human body. And that's why we wear leotard and tights, and that's why we secure our hair. But it, to me, the most important thing is how the dancer feels about themselves, and to allow for dancers to be empowered to make those decisions themselves. And I don't, that's the most important thing to me.
Definitely. And I'm really glad that you are able to be really open about that and give us the choice to be able to, you know, wear a skin tone that is connected to ours, and, you know, being able to let us like really grow and like see our bodies in a way that we find comfortable. And I'm glad that you were able to be really open with that and really, really enjoy what it is that we're doing, rather than just focusing on like how we're supposed to look, focusing on the way we're supposed to do things. I'm really glad that you're able to really take that all into perspective and really show it out every time that you do what you do every day.
Well, I think there's some things that you shouldn't assume that any two people or two dancers feel the same about anything, really. And so I think that this is allowing for students to, it's, again, the important part is coming dressed that shows a sense of respect for what, and preparation for what you're about to embark on in the next hour and a half. And then after that, it's really about what you feel the most confident in. Because if you're feeling confident in what you want to wear, again, within the dress code or uniform policy, if you're feeling confident, then you're going to dance better, right? And so this is, it's, again, reinforcing a positive body image, positive self-image, positive mindset. And that's what we want from our students.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I've really been enjoying this conversation that I've been having with you, Anne. But we're going to try something. We're going to be doing a fast fact question kind of segment.
That sounds fun.
Okay, well, I'm ready to start, so here we go. What's something that you own that you truly cherish?
My children and family.
What's a dessert you can't live without?
Cheesecake.
What advice would you give to your 15-year-old self?
Write it down.
If you were not a dancer, what would you be doing in your life?
I have no idea.
What's a song that pumps you up when you're maybe warming up or something?
Whatever my children are playing on the piano.
Kittens or puppies?
Puppies.
And finally, what is a book that has positively shaped you?
So many. I am going to say Boys in the Boat, because that's the one that I'm thinking of right now that I read a few summers ago. But I think reading in general, I mean, it just opens the doors to your imagination, to thinking, to reading is something that I feel like is just such a really important thing, especially for young minds to spend their time doing, opening the doors to your heart, imagination, ideas, experiences, and understanding from different, understanding what it feels like to be different people in fantasy and real life. And it's just so, it's so important.
That was so much fun to do with you, and I'm glad that I was able to have this time with you and you taking time out of your day to join me today.
Sydney, thank you so much. I am just so proud of you, and I really am enjoying listening to the podcast. I've enjoyed all the guests that you've had on. I feel like you're just connecting so many dots and sharing voices and bringing together a really fascinating and diverse community. And I just couldn't be more pleased to be a part of that, and just proud of you for the person you are, for the dancer you are, and for everything that you're trying to do. And so congratulations to you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kent. I would like to thank my first ever sponsor, Leon Clay Chevette, who is the author of We Made Plans. Her book is available online on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Mahogany Books, and more. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Perfect Timing Podcast. Make sure you join us every Monday at 2 p.m. through SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or Elite Conversations. And you can also find us on our Instagram, Perfect Timing Podcast. Thank you guys for listening.